Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to continue our kind of survey of the Old Testament. We're going to take a look at the book of Proverbs tonight. We'll begin by reading the first 9 verses of chapter 1. And in these verses, we are introduced to the purpose and the theme of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll begin reading verse number 1. Please stand with me as we read the Bible together. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand of proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Heavenly Father, thank you for these precious words. Thank you for this precious, precious book. Lord, in the brief time that we have, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would that you would help us to create a hunger for the wisdom that's found not only in the book of Proverbs, but throughout the Bible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The book of Proverbs is the 20th book of the Bible. And 31 chapters, 915 verses, 15,043 words, 49 questions, 27 verses of unfulfilled prophecy, 215 commands, 49 questions, 120 promises, 27 blessings, and it contains 560 proverbs in all. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 7 will be our key verse. We'll focus on memorizing that this week. If you want to flip over and look at that, Proverbs 4, 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. The author of this book is Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 4, let me read what it says about Solomon. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. And then it goes on to say this, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Now of the 3,000 proverbs spoken by Solomon, only 560 were divinely inspired and preserved for our benefit. We find these in the first 29 chapters of the book of Proverbs. Solomon penned the first 29 chapters of Proverbs. Proverbs 30 was penned by Agar and Proverbs 31 by King Lemuel. And so that's the breakdown as far as the author who God used to pen these things. The book's title and its meaning, listen very carefully. Proverbs, the word proverb, comes from the root word meaning to rule or to govern. Now think about that. These proverbs are statements of heavenly wisdom by which we can govern our earthly actions. There's no more practical of a book in the Bible than the book of Proverbs. I mean, you can read a proverb every day and you'll be able to put something in that proverb to practice that day if you've got a mind to. So these proverbs are statements of heavenly wisdom by which we can govern our earthly actions. The book of Proverbs is so important. What about the theme of the book? Well, the theme of the book of Proverbs is wisdom. The purpose of its writing is made clear in the first 4 verses of the first chapter. We just read that. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. And that means, young people, that this book was especially written to you in your youth. The Proverbs in this book are designed to give wisdom, instruction, and understanding to the simple and to the young. By receiving the wisdom made available in this book, a young man or woman can understand and exercise wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, subtlety, knowledge, and discretion. To ignore or to undervalue the contents of this book is to declare oneself a fool. We read that in verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise or undervalue wisdom and instruction. So every single young person, when I talk about young person, I think the Bible defines that group all the way up to 30 years of age. You need to live in the book of Proverbs. Now, I can't stress it enough. Most everything that I've written to young people, if you'll go through it and just flip, you know what you'll see? Verse after verse after verse out of the book of Proverbs. It's so important that you get that heavenly wisdom so it can guide you for the first 30 years of your life and help you to use discretion and make good choices. So do not ignore the book of Proverbs. Well, I hope you got that. To ignore or undervalue the contents of this book is to declare oneself a fool. Okay, don't despise, don't undervalue this. The outline of the book is in six parts. The first seven chapters is just to the sons or to the young men. Then the praise of wisdom, Proverbs 8 and 9. By the way, it's very interesting. You know, we talk about one of the main characters of the book of Proverbs. One of the main characters is wisdom and the fact that chapter 8 and chapter 9 personifies wisdom, gives it a personality, speaks as if it was a person, wisdom crying in the street, and just fascinating chapters, chapter 8 and 9. And Proverbs 10 and through 19, the folly of sin, and then Proverbs 20 to 29, warnings and instruction, and then the words of Agar, and Proverbs 30, the words of King Lemuel, Proverbs 31. So that's the outline of the book to the sons, praise of wisdom, folly of sin, warnings and instruction, the words of Agar, the words of King Lemuel. Now, main characters. We've never had a list this long, so stay with me. All right. The main character, of course, is God. God shows up all over this book, you know. Now, folks, listen to me. If you want to learn about people, you ought to study the book of Proverbs. That's why, as a young person, it's so important that you study the book of Proverbs and get into it. There's over 60 main characters in the book of Proverbs. You want to be introduced to them. You want to understand them. And by the way, folks, I believe this. If you take this list and you understand and study out and get and know, according to the Bible, how these people act, how to identify them, their strengths, their weaknesses, you know, the rewards or the punishments of it, your interaction with the human race will become so much easier. Okay, it's just fascinating what God's done here. Okay, and not only that, a lot of times we will, when we read this list, if we're not careful, we start thinking of people that we think, but you know what it's really put there for? To weed out some of the stuff in our own lives and to make sure that we are not reading about ourselves in a negative light in the book of Proverbs. So you're going to read them to us? I am. The main characters of Proverbs, the wise, the simple, the foolish, the strange woman, the virtuous woman, the gracious woman, the fair woman, the odious woman. Where's Odie at? What do you think about this? The odious woman. Odious. The brutish man, the merciful man, the evil man, the slothful or sluggard, the diligent, the scorner, the talebearer, the whisperer, the wicked man, the righteous man, the proud, the humble, the man who fears God, the poor, the rich, the liar, the honest man, the teachable, the despiser of wisdom and knowledge, the seeker, the faithful, the backslidden, the merry-hearted or happy man, the angry, the greedy, the generous, the prudent, the disciplined, the reputable man, talking about that man with a good name, the compromiser, the drunkard, the glutton, the contentious man, the contentious woman, the true friend, the enticer, the sinner, the man of discretion, the forward, the good man, the perfect man, the oppressor, the just man, the unjust man, the wife of thy youth, the discord sower, the mischievous man, the faithful witness, the violent man, the hoary head, and there's much to be said to kings and princes. So how about that? Now, that list of people there, folks, can I say this? Listen to me. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the truth. I have done an in-depth study of every single one of those in the book of Proverbs. I know them. By the way, I can spend a little bit of time around you and know who you are. You say, well, you shouldn't judge. I'm not judging you. The Bible's judging you. I just happen to know the Bible. So I let the Bible judge. Okay? Are you listening to me? See, some of you are interacting with some of these people, and you have no idea who you're messing around with and the dangers involved in it. The Bible says that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, and a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And yet we act as if God didn't give us all of this incredible information. So you young men, are you going to stay ignorant? Are you going to despise wisdom and instruction? Or are you going to figure some things out? Young ladies, I mean, you ought to be able to spot some of these losers and run the other way. All right? I mean, you got to make some decisions in life. Okay? Well, I think you're talking about me. Well, have you studied the book of Proverbs? Are you some of these things that you shouldn't be? And if you are, why are you defending it? You know something? We're not going to stand before God and say, God, you just didn't give us enough information to be successful in this thing called the Christian life. We're going to stand before God, and God's going to say, why were you so lazy you wouldn't study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? Now, folks, this is stuff that every young person ought to be spending their time studying and getting and reading and understanding. Okay, why are you so upset about video games and Facebook? Because we're raising a bunch of spiritual retards. You want to take 5 minutes a week? Come on now, I'm just going to just park here. Listen, I'm trying to defend this book right here. I'm standing up for the God who wrote this book. I mean, God gave us the most amazing, miraculous thing in all of the world. The average Christian can't take 5 minutes a week and open it up and do any type of thinking and studying and evaluating, and so you can become wise in your life. Now, yeah, I'm standing up for it. It's about time we stop playing at this thing called Christianity. All right? And so, by the way, this whole thing about not judging, you ought to study that out. You know, there's a book called Judges. You know, one verse about judging. So what are you saying? I'm saying, get it, man. Come on. 60 people, not 600, 60, that you can study and understand the tendencies of. And by the way, as you do this, you know what God, the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to time to time going to take a negative one and say, that's you. Then you got to decide whether you're going to keep studying and you can take the heat and you're willing to make the changes, or whether you're just going to be offended and then just say, well, you know, I think I'll go back to Facebook. Now, come on now. God's given us a great deal of information here. The book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom. Wisdom. You need it if you're going to make right decisions. You need it if you're going to hang around the right people. You need it if you're going to become the right kind of person. And so how about that? Let's spend some time studying the Bible. Amen. You say, well, you've got more time than I did. I've studied all of those before I was ever in full-time ministry. Most time working two jobs. Don't come at me with that. If you want to know wisdom, you'll get into the book of Proverbs and you will live there. I'm hoping, you know, maybe some elementary boy will just say, you know, I'm going to start doing that. Maybe some junior high or high school boy say, you know what, good night, what am I doing? I can spend time, I can get that list from preacher, and I can go through, and I can use a commentary, and I can figure this out. Do you have any idea what kind of a situation that puts you in for the rest of your life and just walking around landmines? Just keeping from making stupid mistakes? I mean, you know, wisdom, listen, I've been gearing up for Proverbs. I could do like 6 weeks on Proverbs, all right? And just scratch the surface. I mean, this, if you get this book and you study this book and you know this book, then you know the human race. You know how to help people. By the way, it doesn't mean so you can do this so you can walk around condemning everybody. You know how to help people. By the way, you'll know real quick whether they want to be helped or not. Amen. Amen. I mean, it's going to help you in so many areas of your life, okay? I see some girls attracted to certain guys, and I think to myself, cannot they see what I'm seeing? I see some guys attracted to certain girls. Cannot they see what I'm seeing? Do they realize they're going to be living with for the rest of their life? Now, what I'm saying is it's there. Okay? I ended up with a real good woman. Real good woman. Real godly woman. Virtuous woman. You know why? Because I knew the book of Proverbs. Who are you going to end up with? Amen? All righty. Preacher, you got a little exercise there. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, I became the angry man there for a minute. The angry, that was me. Yeah. Amen. So did Jesus a time or two. I studied out. What's the one great truth, okay? How do you increase in wisdom? Okay? Eight things. Give them to you. We got 30 minutes to go through eight things. Easy. Probably get out of here 10 minutes early, all right? Because the ones of you that want to know it, you probably already do. The ones of you that are putting your time in, it ain't going to matter. So here we go. How to increase in wisdom. The principal priority of the years of your youth should be the pursuit of wisdom. Wisdom, did we not just read that? Wisdom is the principal thing. So that means number one. That means it is the principal thing. Wisdom. It says get wisdom. Notice it says you got to get it. I can't get it for you. Your mom and dad can't get it for you. You got to get it. Get understanding. Oh, the responsibility is yours. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. She shall preserve thee. Love her and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting get. There's a lot of gets in there. It means you got to get it. Okay, you're not going to find it on Facebook. Did I mention Facebook lately? You're not going to find it in Facebook. You're not going to find it sitting around sending 600 texts a day. You're not going to find it in video games. Okay, you're not going to find it in Hollywood. You're not going to find it in the wrong music. You're going to find it in this book or you're not going to get it. This is where you get it. Okay? And so if you want it, it's there for the getting. Anybody that decides to can get it. Okay? How to increase in wisdom. God places upon us the responsibility of getting wisdom. He requires effort from us. If we are going to be rewarded with his wisdom. The Bible's clear on what we must do in order to obtain wisdom. All right, let's go through it. Look at Proverbs 1:7. We'll go back there. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now notice this, all wisdom comes from God. If you are going to increase in wisdom, your relationship with him must be right. The starting point for receiving both knowledge and wisdom is the fear of the Lord. If you do not have a proper awe and respect towards your Creator, then it is impossible for you to obtain wisdom. Okay? An old proverb states that a journey of 100 miles begins with one step. Well, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Second step can't be taken until the first step's taken. Here's a good question for us on this Wednesday night. Do you fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? Amen. I see some people nodding. I see some. Do you fear the Lord? Okay. You know how that's calculated out? You know how that's calibrated by the Lord? What you'll do when nobody else is looking. Okay, that tells me whether you fear the Lord and tells you whether you fear the Lord. Because when nobody's looking but God, what will you do and who are you then when you're by yourself? The fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. That's the first place. If that doesn't get fixed, we might as well not go to 2, 3, 4, there's 8 of them. But if you don't fear the Lord, then you know what? That is the beginning. You cannot get wisdom. You cannot get knowledge if you don't fear God. Number two, how about this? Pray for wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, I'll put my hand up. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It shall not, and it shall be given him. The Bible clearly teaches us that wisdom is there for the asking. And so you must fear the Lord. And secondly, you must go to the Lord consistently and ask him for wisdom. I believe it ought to be a daily prayer request. And for most of us, many times a day. I face a lot of decisions in life. I got to make a lot of decisions in life. You know what I want? I need God's wisdom. I need God's wisdom. Number three, cherish the scriptures. The Bible contains the wisdom of God, but it's up to each of us to mine daily for the gold nuggets that it contains. Now, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 2, and again, I want to show you that the responsibility of this is on each of us individually. I love Proverbs chapter 2. I love the first six verses. My son, if, now you're going to see a lot of ifs here. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. And after all the ifs, here comes the then. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So here's God with all of his wisdom. And you know what he's waiting for, looking for? He's looking for somebody that will make an effort with all thy getting. Get it. What do you have to do? You have to be willing to receive my words. You got to hide your commandments with thee. You incline your ear into wisdom. Apply your heart to understand it. Cry after knowledge. Lift up your voice. Didn't we say pray? Lift up your voice for understanding. Seek for her as for silver. Search for her as for hid treasure. And then when God sees that kind of an attitude and that kind of a hunger, it's amazing the wisdom that he'll impart and the way the scriptures will open up to you and parts of the Bible will come alive and you'll see it, you'll see it, you'll see it. But you know what, folks? Listen to me. This isn't cheap stuff. God's not going to throw pearls before swine. I mean, the kind of wisdom that God has, God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to withhold it until I find that young man that will hunger for it, that young lady that will hunger for it. I mean, they'll get on their face and go, God, I need your wisdom, and I need to know this book, and I need to understand. My whole life's at stake here. And the eternity of thousands of people for me making the right decision. And so when God sees that, I'm not talking about just one night. I'm not talking about just two nights. I'm talking about somebody that will read this book when it don't make any sense to you and weep when you don't understand it and write down things and meditate on it and pray 100 times a day. Lord, I need to understand this. Open this up to me. I need this, dear God. I'm telling you what, you can go for a ride and you can learn some amazing things. But you know what? You've got to care about this book. Fear the Lord. How are you doing so far? You fear God? Does your life show that you fear the Lord? Have you prayed for wisdom? I mean, one time today, one time this week, one time in 2016, ever? Do you cherish the Bible, cherish the scriptures? I mean, do you go in here and mine like you're mining for gold nuggets and cry out for it and search it and hide the commandments, incline your ear, apply your heart? If you do, then you're going to begin to get the wisdom of God. Go to Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 9. Number 4, be teachable. Be teachable. Be teachable. Proverbs 9, verse number 9. Watch this. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he'll increase in learning. Nothing prevents the flow of wisdom faster than man's pride. In order to be teachable, we must be humble enough to admit we don't know everything. There are many people who are older and wiser, willing to share with you the wisdom God has taught them, but you have to be willing to listen to instruction. Young people, look at me. When you sat in your Sunday school, last Sunday, those of you that came, when you sat in your Sunday school class last Sunday, what was your attitude towards the instruction? What was your attitude towards the instruction? Let's see if I can sit on the back row, sit with my buddies, smirk, pass notes, kick each other, look at the clock, laugh at the teacher. Excuse me, you're a fool. Based on the word of God, you're a fool. You're a fool. Now, young man, you're going to be hanging around the fools, or are you going to hang around wise people? I mean, you got to make a decision at some point in your life. Young ladies, you're going to hang around wise people, you're going to hang around foolish people. Okay? What I'm saying is, man, you know what? You got to learn to be teachable. Your attitude towards instruction will either limit you or leap you ahead of your peers. Many of this generation insist on learning everything the hard way. By the way, while they're doing that, you can learn wisdom. You can gain knowledge, and you can jump leaps and bounds ahead of them. Learning from both the mistakes and accomplishments of those older than you will greatly increase your wisdom. So be teachable. How about this? Accept rebuke. Proverbs chapter 9, are we there? Verse number 8, look at that. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Proverbs 15:31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Proverbs 25:12, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Now, young people, listen to me. Rebuke's a part of life. It's necessary. It's necessary. So I'm shocked at the way the average young person responds to rebuke. Shocked. Shocked. Those of you that are raising toddlers, you better watch for this. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness. That means it starts real little, real small. I mean, they ain't no more got their legs out from underneath them. And you know what? They don't want you telling them when they're wrong. And if you won't deal with it at that age, you're going to have to deal with, listen, for every ounce of rebellion you take out of a toddler, you eliminate a ton of rebellion that you've got to deal with during their teenage years. Okay. All right. Well, they're just independent. No, they're rebellious. Independent of who? What's that mean? Since when is that a compliment? Independent of who? Independent of their parents, independent of authority, independent of God. Going to do things their own way. And listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Watch this. Accept rebuke. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. When you're rebuked, you know what? It'll tell more about you as a Christian than any other thing that can happen to you. When you're rebuked as a young person, it'll tell more about you than anything else that can happen, okay? I like to say this. Everybody's a good church member until you have to rebuke them. Then they have the opportunity to become a great church member. Everybody's a good church member until you rebuke them. Then they have the opportunity to become a great church member, all right? And so how you handle that moment is going to be so important, because see, God in heaven, who has all this wisdom, is watching. And you know who he's looking for? He's looking for somebody that is willing to humble themselves and take rebuke when they're wrong. And God says, I can trust them with wisdom. All right. Number 6, seek counsel. Seek counsel. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Proverbs 24:6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make war, and a multitude of counselors there is safety, safety. Every young person, by the way, every older person should carefully select wise individuals from whom you can seek counsel. You got to have a multitude of counselors. They should be carefully chosen. Select godly adults who give you biblical advice. Here's a question for you. You know why most people don't like Proverbs? Because notice what it does. It just rips the facade off. It's a bright light. It just exposes nonsense, you know. I mean, if you want to, I preached through the book of Proverbs one time as a pastor, and it wasn't in this church. And I stirred more of a hornet's nest up after 1 month in Proverbs than, let me tell you when I usually start having trouble with the young people and parents start squawking. When I tell either a Sunday school teacher or our Christian school Bible teacher, teach through the teenage years of Jesus Christ. I have more people kicking back and squawking and screaming. I've had girls go home and cry on their bed. That teacher, he's telling me I'm a fool. Not the Bible was telling me. Not the verses in Proverbs were telling me. The teacher was. So how do you know that? Because parents called me. I said, did you open the Bible and read the same verses? Is your child a fool? According to the Bible. Not according to you, not according to the teacher, according to the Bible. Are they in that area foolish? Well, what's wrong with us? We can't take it. I mean, excuse me, but if the Bible says, if you say this, you're a fool. Guess what? If you say it, you're a fool. If the Bible says, you do this, you're a fool, and you do it, you're a fool. You have this attitude, you're a fool, then guess what? If you have the attitude, you're a fool. And getting mad at the guy that's preaching the message doesn't change a thing. Matter of fact, it proves you're a fool. Thank you. I need a few of you laughing right now. I need somebody to help me. All right. Where's all these good members that like being good Christian? You know, when I preached on lose it or laugh, you had a good time that morning. This is where the rubber meets the road. Okay. Seek counsel. Every young person should carefully select wise individuals from whom he can seek counsel. When it talks about a multitude of counselors, I'm going to see if I can explain that to you. A multitude of counselors does not mean take an opinion poll. It means if you've got a question about something, you don't go to 10 counselors and then say, well, let's see, 8 of them said this, 4 of them said that. That's not what it's talking about. A multitude of counselors means you need to have experts in every area of every field of your life. Okay? Sometimes people come to my office and they've got medical issues and they want to get counsel about what to do. And you know what? I'll tell them, listen, I will give you spiritual counsel because I'm a pastor. I don't give medical counsel because I'm not a doctor. That's not my area of expertise. Go see a doctor about that. And I appreciate that they wanted to go see the preacher. Maybe, you know, I'll look at the situation and make sure there's not a spiritual or biblical principle that's being broke, but I'm not going to give you medical counsel. I'm glad we have David Gibbs. I'm glad I have his phone number in my cell phone. I'm glad for the CLA. If you come into my office and say, preacher, I got a legal matter, I'll say, you know what? You need to go see a lawyer. Okay, but if you've got a spiritual matter, it might be good to come see your pastor. I don't think I go to David Gibbs. I don't think I go to your medical doctor. Is this making sense? What I'm saying, in every area of your life, you ought to have a go-to person who is a Christian and who is very wise and knowledgeable in that area that you can trust. And by the way, don't go to people that's going to give you unbiblical advice. Okay, our multitude of counselors. If I was going to ask you today, write down the list of the 3 or 4 people you usually get advice from, and I read that list, I'd know a lot about you. Are you going to people who are going to tell you what you want to hear, or are you going to people that tell you what you need to hear? Okay. And what we tend to do, young people, if you're not careful, you tend to go talk to your friends, which is always hilarious to me. You got a life-changing decision to make. You're 16. You go to another 16-year-old. They reach down deep, get all the vast experience and biblical knowledge and say, duh, I don't know. Or sadly, they think they do know. Now, what I'm saying is, do you want to be wise? Do you want to be wise? You know, this matter of wisdom, it takes work. This matter of wisdom, it takes humility. This matter of wisdom, I mean, the light's going to shine quick. In the course of the ministry here, how many times have I said there's 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs, and most months there's 31? Have you ever one time taken 1 month and ever done it just one time? And if not, could you please answer this question before God? Why are you so scared of this book? Why can't you get through a couple chapters? What's bothering you? Say, preacher, you've talked about, you've studied every one of those. That's exactly right. And you know what? Some of these ones I studied out, I found out pretty quick I was studying about Jerry Ross. And then I have to make a decision. You know what wisdom does? It makes you have to make decisions. We talk about making excuses or making decisions. Who are you? Who are you? I'm having young people right now in this church. I don't mean just teenagers. I'm talking about young adults. You're making the most important decision of your life. And you won't walk in my office and talk to me and my wife about it. If you're a young lady, talk to me about it if you're a young man. You're going to marry somebody. And you're not going to sit down with your pastor. Why not? Why not? Isn't there a safety? Did I read it wrong? Wouldn't it be the safe thing to do? Safety in a multitude of counselors? Isn't there a very spiritual aspect of that that you ought to be sure about some things on? Now, let me just help everybody, because I'm gonna have you save your time and I'm going to save a lot of my time right now, okay? Getting counsel is not coming in and saying, Pastor, let me tell you what I've decided I'm going to do. Don't come. Don't come. And then later on say, yeah, I went in and talked to the pastor about it. No, you didn't. You came in and announced what you were going to do. If you come to my office and announce what you're going to do, you know what I'll do? I'll go, okay. Anything else you need to tell me? Oh, I just thought I'd kind of run it by you and let you know. You're letting me know? Yeah, okay. Well, you let me know. And then people say, well, I went and got counsel. No, you didn't. I know. You're smarter. You're wiser. I get it. You're going to get married, and you're not even going to talk to your pastor about it. But it's funny that during the divorce, they usually end up in my office. Okay? All right? I'm not here to choose anybody's husband, anybody's wife. But there are Bible principles that eliminate people. And I will point those biblical principles out to you. Okay? I'm not interested in matchmaking. I'm way too busy for that. Not interested in it. But I can tell you, I can ask you 5-6 questions, and if you're honest, you, by the way, you know why you won't come? You know already. You know. You know. But you're just going to go ahead and do it anyway, and then it's going to, you know, you're just, and nobody's going to tell you, and you harden your heart, and I'm just going to do that. I'm going to do it. And then you get to live with it, and you get to live it out. Okay, be very careful. Be very careful. Amen? How many parents in here would want your children to come talk to the preacher before they make the most important decision of their life, getting married? How many of you parents would want your kids to come do that? Okay. By the way, I'm not a serpent. You ought to talk to mom. You talk to dad. Mom and dad know you better than everybody else. But mom and dad, don't you be a coward. You give them biblical counsel. You give them biblical counsel. Okay. See, parents, Christian parents, pastor, we're using the same book. We ought to be saying the same things. They're same principles. Okay? I'm not circumventing the parental authority in the life, but I'm just saying in a multitude of counsel, there's some safety. Okay? Please make some wise decisions, all right? All right? I've lived long enough to see enough train wrecks, catch enough tears, children all of a sudden, broken homes. But, you know, if I'd only preacher, why didn't I just? I know. You can now. Do it right. Seek counsel. Go soul winning. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The theme of the Bible is the redemption of men. The Great Commission is a mandate for every Christian to share the gospel with those who are lost. Many teachings of the Bible will not make sense to you unless you're actively involved in personal soul winning. Now let me say it again. Many teachings of the Bible will not make sense to you unless you're actively involved in personal soul winning. God opens his word to those who are willing to become laborers in the harvest field and withholds many things for those who refuse. So, if you win souls, let me just say with that, God will give you great wisdom. 8, choose wise companions. Show me your friends today, I'll show you what you'll be tomorrow. Many a good young person has been corrupted by the wrong crowd. If you want to be wise, it is vital that you choose wise companions. Listen to the two shall-bes. Listen to the two shall-bes of Proverbs 11, verse 20. We'll stake eternity on a shall-be. For whosoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. We'll stake eternity on a shall-be. What about this one? Proverbs 13, 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Not might be, not maybe. Are you a companion? Are your companions fools? Do you even know the character traits of a fool? Have you ever studied out what the Bible says, the book of Proverbs? Just study out what it says about fools and write it down and look at it. Then look at your friends. Then look at your list. Then look at your friends. Then look at your list. Then look at your friends. It's not rocket science. Okay? If the majority of those attributes are in the people that you're hanging around, you shall be destroyed. Study the wise men. There's attributes of the wise men. Study them out. Write them out. Study it out. Write it out. Book of Proverbs. You get a commentary. You look up in W. wise. Okay, you open it. You look at Proverbs. There's about that many verses. You go to the first one. You read it. You think. You think real hard. You slow down. You read it. And it says something about a wise man, and you write down whatever it says that attribute is. Then you go to the next one, and someone told me one time, well, I just wish you'd teach us how to study the Bible. I am right now, okay? You open a concordance. You look at the verses. You read. You think. You actually think. You think about what it says. You think of what it says about a wise man, and you write that attribute down. And you do that with every attribute, and you're going to say, man, some of these are repeating. Yeah, because God's emphasizing that this is what wise people do. And there's a lot of repeating in the foolish. After it said the same thing five or six times, how can you not see it? And you know what? Then after that, you take a look at your friends and your crowd, and you say, fool, 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 bye. I'm going to go find some wise people. Here's the list of wisdom. Wise, wise, wise. I'm hanging with them. And you know what? I won't be destroyed. I'll be wise. Okay? All right? I mean, folks, we have got to decide that this book is important. This book of Proverbs, for young people, it is life or it is death. It is your entire future. And everything in the world's got some of your attention except the Word of God. And you're at the most crucial time of your life and making some of the biggest decisions of your life. And you won't crack this book open. You won't read one proverb a day. You won't do one word study so you can know the difference between just this. Wise, foolish, simple. Would you just do those three? It'll eliminate probably 80% of the problem people and the wrong influences in your life. And when somebody says something and it's foolish, you'll go, boom, Holy Spirit, boom. You did that study. You know what? Listen, people say sometimes foolish things. Okay? Wise people say foolish things at times. Good people say foolish things at times. That's why you do the whole study, because it's not just somebody that's a pretty decent person occasionally doing. It's read it out and you're studying and you're hanging with that crowd. Okay? And attacking the crowd that checks marks all the wisdom. Okay, do you understand? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. God Almighty wrote that. If you walk with wise men, you shall be wise. Companion of fools shall be destroyed. I feel like I'm fighting for some of your lives right now. I just wish you'd fight as hard as your preacher's trying to fight for you. It's here. It's in this book. Okay, so that's the challenge. Eight things. Not 20, not 60, not 110. Eight things. If you'll do them and do them consistently, then you know what? God will give you wisdom. Fear the Lord. Here's the checklist. Pray for wisdom. Do you truly fear God? Preacher, I don't know how to answer that. What do you do when no one else is looking? That tells you whether or not you fear God. Okay, pray for wisdom. It'll be every day. Cherish the scriptures, study with all you're getting. Get in there and dig it out. Be teachable. Were you teachable tonight? Are you going to do anything that the preacher said? Accept rebuke. Okay, I got on some of you tonight a little bit. Can you take it? Okay, you reprove a scorner, he'll hate you. Right now, some of you don't like your preacher right now, but that's not my problem. That's your problem. You've got a scornful spirit. Lest you hate to rebuke a wise man. Hey, bring it on, preacher. Come on. I mean, if you need to stomp on my toes, do it. I want to be right with God. Okay? Seek counsel. Don't make life-changing decisions without going to godly counselors and seeking counsel. Go soul winning. Choose wise companions. And if you'll do that, you know what you'll see? That God begins to bless you. And next thing you know, you get a hunger for wisdom, and you gain wisdom, and you start making wise decisions, and boy, life's so much better. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight, Lord, in this matter of just treating a book, Lord, that I think has been too long ignored, undervalued, unread, and a lot of times approached with a hostile spirit by people that would claim to be children of God. Lord, I pray, dear God, you get us back to an old-fashioned Holy Spirit humbleness about us. And Lord, for many a Christian, just to open tomorrow morning to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, and just say, Lord, I'm going to figure some things out. I'm going to learn some things. I'm going to make some right decisions. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help. Help us, Lord. We need to be wise, dear Lord. We need the wisdom of God in our lives, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name.